If you have your Bibles, please join me once again in the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Paul writes, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And I pray he would add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Back when I was in seminary, we were taught in our preaching and our teaching that we were to be as balanced as the Bible is balanced on whatever topic or subject we are discussing. Meaning that when the Bible is direct and explicit on a topic, then the teaching, the preaching should be just as explicit and as direct. And when the Bible is a bit more vague on a particular subject, then we are not to make that subject any more direct than it is. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, salvation. Salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Very explicit, very detailed, very clear. Now, some try to confuse it, but pretty straightforward. Now, compare that to baptism. Concerning baptism, the Bible is more vague. Yes, it teaches clearly that we are to baptize, and we are to do it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But as for the mode of baptism, it says nothing. The Bible does not direct us how we are to baptize. It just says we are. So, I can immerse, I can sprinkle. I've told folks, I'll baptize you with a fire hose, I'll put you in a swimming pool, we'll do it in the lake, or I'll go do it in the cold, choggy river where I was baptized. Very cold. The Bible is not specific, and so we should not be any more specific. So, we are to be balanced in our teaching, in our preaching, as the Bible is balanced. In our text today, Paul speaks of an area where balance is very important. And for some, this particular area can be very difficult to maintain that appropriate balance. Let me point it out to you once again in verse 9. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment." The balance we're looking for is between love and knowledge and discernment. This is what we must keep in a biblical balance. He prays for their love to abound, for it to grow, but he prays for it to grow with knowledge and discernment. As Christians, we must have love for others, and we pray for that love to grow more and more, and that love should be grounded in a biblical knowledge, just as God has directed us to love. And we must also be discerning, just as the Bible teaches us. However, love and discerning truth are not always kept in balance within the church. We must avoid two extremes in the Christian life given this subject. On the one hand, there are those who live more by subjective feelings, absent from any or very little doctrinal truth and teaching. They love to sing over and over, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's just get together and love." They believe love of Jesus is all that needs to be stressed. They believe that in-depth biblical teaching, doctrinal teaching, is divisive. We have churches that actually claim that we do love, but we don't do doctrinal teaching. Well, if you teach love from the Bible, that's doctrine. But they'll say, "No, let's not dig into the details, because then that just kind of divides the people." So we need to stay away from that extreme. The other extreme we need is the opposite. Some emphasize knowledge and doctrine above all things. They are overly proud of themselves for being biblically correct, but not so much love. Their doctrine is good, but their love for others, not so much. They have the head knowledge, but not much in their heart. And I kind of have to point the finger, as I've said before, at the Reformed Church. We're steeped in good teaching, but for some, the love is a bit strained. The Bible presents a good balance between that head knowledge and that heart affection. And so we need to follow that balance. Christianity means loving God and others deeply from the heart, but it also means such love must follow God's truth as taught by Scripture. And of course, Jesus is the greatest example of this. And we only have to go to one chapter to see this balance. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays that his followers would be united, that there would be good fellowship, even fellowship with the Father. But he also prays that they would be sanctified by God's word of truth. A balance between love and discernment based on truth. So we as Christians must be people of love, even to the point of loving our enemies. However, our love must be based in truth. And living in that truth leads us to be discerning about the things we face in our lives. There must be a balance. So let's dig a little deeper. Paul is continuing to pray for the Philippian church as he remembers them. And he prays for some very staggering things. He prays, as I've said, that their love would abound, that they would grow into full maturity, that they would grow in knowledge and discernment so that they can approve what is excellent. And that they would be pure and blameless before Christ on the day of his coming. And finally, and I would say most importantly, that they, the Philippians, be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And then as he closes out this portion, all of this is so that God would be praised and glorified. As I tear this text apart, I see a base, a foundation to this list of things Paul is praying for. And this base, this foundation, will lead to the accomplishment of the things Paul is praying for here in this little short segment. And that base is knowledge and discernment. Now, let us be clear, love is very important to Paul. He says, let love abound, let it grow, and love grows with knowledge. The more we know God, the more we grow to love him. The more we come to know each other, our love can grow for each other. But then secondly, he speaks of discernment. For me to be discerning, I must know right from wrong. That's knowledge. I must know what is truth. That's doctrine. For me to approve what is excellent, I must be discerning. And that discernment depends on the knowledge of the truth given us in Holy Scripture. And as these come together in maturity, one becomes filled with the fruit of righteousness that is in Christ. Paul desires that we approve what is excellent. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, we must be able to determine what really matters. What are the things that really, really matter in life? What is the best and most virtuous? What's the most important things? Again, that's discerning based on truth. What really matters in our lives? What really matters in church? Now, we may do many things that are neutral from a right and wrong standpoint. However, we should ask ourselves, is this that we are doing adding value to me as a person? Am I growing in Christ, or is my lifestyle or the things I'm doing distracting from my worship of Jesus? All right, what are those things of value? What is the measure of value? How can I tell if it adds value to my life or not? Well, what is our objective? What are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to achieve? Paul gives it to us here. Look with me at verse 10. He wants us to grow in our love with knowledge and discernment in those first two words in verse 10. So that we can do what's about to follow. So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. There's our objective. Pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Pure and blameless for the day of Christ. In the Christian life, something has value if it adds to me being ready for the second coming. What are we doing in our lives to prepare us? How is the Holy Spirit leading us to be ready, to be that, as hard as it is to believe, pure and blameless? Something has value if it moves me closer to being pure and blameless. And how do I know these things, what those things are? Knowledge and having the ability to discern, which is what Paul is praying for. And this is wisdom. This is wisdom. What Paul is actually praying for here, for the Philippians and also for us, is that we grow in wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom of Christ. Paul is praying for us and the Philippian church to grow in wisdom. He's praying that you may grow in love, that you would be pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness, and all of this leads to glory and the praise of God. And this brings us back to knowledge, knowing God, knowing His ways, knowing ourselves and our need. The first step in salvation is the knowledge that you're not saved. And then the Holy Spirit moves you, redeems you, and gives you that new heart. So we need to know ourselves, know our need. We need to come to know God even deeper. And here we are brought face to face with one of the great weaknesses in the church, having that deep knowledge of God. Many today have said the greatest sin of the church is ignorance, lack of sound teaching, the lack of in-depth biblical teaching. Some churches, some folks, if you're saved, okay, great, you're in the door, that's fine. Well, yes, that's awesome, that's wonderful. But how can we grow in wisdom? How can we grow in wisdom if that's all we do? This is why it is of incredible importance that we give ourselves to the prayerful study of Holy Scriptures. We must be people diligent in our pursuit of truth. How can you discern right and wrong if you don't know what is right and wrong? How can we do that if we don't know? Now, this cannot simply be an academic reading of Scripture. We must pray that the Holy Spirit opens our minds. We must pray that God builds in us through the study the character that He desires us to have. Matthew 6:33, that verse most everybody has memorized. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking God first in all we do. Now, a lot of this discernment talk flies in the face of our society and our social climate today. In our desire to be politically correct world, being discerning, being judging between one thing or another, is not encouraged in our society. We're taught that anything is good as long as it suits you. Our children are being taught not to voice their disapproval of something because they have no right to judge. Well, that's true. We do not have a right to judge. Because to judge someone means to evaluate them and render a decision which leads to some punitive damage if they're found guilty. That's a judge. We don't have that capacity. However, discerning is different than judging. Here, Paul's desire is that you prove what is excellent. Well, that's a form of judging. That's a form of discerning. It's evaluating something, using truth as a standard, and making a decision if whatever is in our life is good or not. So we are to discern, and that's a level of judgment, if you will. Matthew 7, verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." So we are not to be judgmental towards others. However, you go on and read verse 6 of chapter 7 of Matthew. It says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs." Well, here I must make several decisions, judgments. Who are the dogs? That's a decision I have to make. That's a judgment. What is holy? What are pearls? And who are the pigs? See, those are all decisions, discernments I must make. And I do that using the truth from holy texts as a standard. Now, just briefly answering my questions according to Scripture, the dogs and the pigs are those who do not live according to the Holy Scriptures. And what is holy and what are the pearls? Well, those are the wonderful jewels of scriptural truth. And I realize all of these things as I discern them in accordance with holy texts, with the Holy Scriptures. And when I make those decisions and live my life in the society that we are in, as I said, that will fly in the face of many things deemed politically correct. And so our love is expressed biblically, but many in society will not understand. I love you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. And I tell you the truth because I love you. It's like when we discipline our children. Why do we discipline our children? Because we love them. And we don't want that behavior to continue. Well, the child may not understand that love. I can remember my mother. "Tim, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." And around we would go. And I'd go, "Mama, you're about to beat me." And you don't understand that till you have your own children. And see, the world, much of that, they don't understand that. Love and discernment based in truth must be in balance. We cannot overexcel one above the other. Paul is praying for the Philippians and us, that their love grows, that it abounds more and more. He prays that they grow in knowledge and discernment. And again, there must be that balance. So, I pray for us to live those balanced lives, loving each other deeply, but also loving based in the truths of God's holy word. And sometimes that love may be expressed in ways that are difficult. But let us love so that we can approve what is excellent according to Scriptures, so that we will be pure and blameless when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and that we be filled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Love and discernment. Knowledge, love, and discernment. As I said, much of the world doesn't understand, but we as Christians should. Amen. Amen.